insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
100%.
Welcome back. I am here to increase your spiritual bandwidth. My number is 888-914-9149. That number is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149. Let's go first to Catherine in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Catherine.
Hi. How you doing, Patrick?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I was telling Cyrus, I don't think that poll is right about Catholics, because I know my personal self. As senior citizens, a lot of them in my family, they hear Mass on television and or on the radio, and they can't get to Mass because of health issues and things like that, and they try to be good Catholics. Mm-hmm. So do you think that poll is right?
That's a good question, Catherine. And you may remember I did address that very issue. I said, I'm not referring to, I'll start with what I said and then I'll go to the poll. I'm not referring to people in those situations, elderly people, ill people, people who have no transportation. And it's not their own fault. They just can't go. And it is what it is. The Gallup poll doesn't break it down. That's what I was saying earlier. It doesn't break it down to say, are these people who are responding to the poll, are they ill? Are they in a rest home or in a situation like that? I didn't see the specific information that would lead to my conclusion, but I'm assuming that when they took the poll that they were asking people, and they probably asked them, if you can go to Mass or go to church service every Sunday, do you go? So it was probably a broader kind of question. So I'll have to plead ignorance on the precise way in which the questions were asked. And I will say, if they were polling people who, like you're talking about, cannot get to Mass because of age or illness, etc., then that would skew the numbers somewhat. But if they were more meticulous in the way they found their sample in pre-qualified people that they would ask this question of. So in other words, I'll give you an example. I'm pretty sure they didn't poll eight-year-olds and ask an eight-year-old, do you go to church every Sunday? Because eight-year-olds don't have a way to go to church every Sunday if nobody takes them. So my assumption is that the poll is probably quite accurate because the people who are responding to it are people who could go to Mass if they wished, not people who are prevented from doing so. Okay. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, I just thought this doesn't sound right, not from what I know personally, you know, mm-hmm. because I know a lot of senior citizens that try to be the best Catholics they can, mm-hmm. and I think that's, you know, it was just didn't hit me right, you know?
Right. And I know how it is when it's your own personal experience, it can seem to differ. But when they do a study like this across tens of thousands of people, for example, all around the country, sometimes a very different picture emerges than what we assume to be true. I found that before sometimes when I remember kind of disbelieving these polls decades ago, thinking there have to be more people going to church on Sunday than that.
That's exactly how I feel right now, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you know how it is when you're in church and it's full and there are all kinds of people in there, it gives us the impression, or maybe the misimpression, that everybody's going to Mass because look how full the church is on Sunday. But what we don't see is all the people who are not in church on Sunday. They're at home or at the game or whatever. Uh-huh. That's where our perception can be off.
Because when I go to church and can get there myself, our church is full.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. So it seems like everybody's going to church, you know, when you're there because it's full.
Yes. So I was just, when you said that, I thought, oh, this doesn't sound right to me, mm-hmm. you know, from what I know. But I'm just one person, so, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. You're making a good point. You know, it's like the old 80-20 rule. I'm sure you've heard of that. That 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I've had conversations with priests who say if everybody who is registered in the parish were to donate some money by envelopes, the parish would never have to ask for money ever, because there'd be more than enough money to run the programs and keep the lights turned on. But only a few people who are registered, relatively speaking, go to Mass every Sunday.
Yes. And I just know, believe me, I just know a few people that send the envelope in that don't make church. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That's the problem.
So we should try to help them. I know part of the solution is that let's get everybody to listen to Relevant Radio, and sooner or later they'll all start going back to Mass.
That's exactly what my family does.
Well, thank you, Catherine.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Patrick.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nice chatting. Take care. Happy Holy Week. I mean, this is one of those phenomena that can be remedied, if you ask me, by getting people to listen to Relevant Radio. I know Cyrus will back me up on this one. We get emails typically at least one a day, sometimes more. Hardly a day goes by that I don't get an email. And that's just me, not counting what Drew gets and Timmery and Kale and everybody else on the air here. We get these emails, and I get at least one every day or so from somebody who says, I wasn't going to Mass, I wasn't going to confession, I kind of checked out, and I came back to the practice of my Catholic faith because of Relevant Radio.
Fact.
Yeah. So this is part of the solution. We're not the only part of the solution. I'd say we're a very prevalent part, only because we have 220 stations around the country. So we're getting to the point now where we're reaching a massive number of potential listeners. It's one reason why, if you like what you're hearing on Relevant Radio, share it with other people. Share the Relevant Radio app with your friends and family. Text it to them. Tell them about it. Encourage them to tune in and listen, because the more people who hear about it, the more people are going to be getting back to Mass, if you ask me.
You like it? Share it.
Hey, there's a good slogan. Tell me that again. I'm going to write that down.
If you like it, share it.
I love that. You're a genius, Cyrus. You're some kind of a genius.
I don't know how I come up with this stuff.
Man, write that down. Get that copyrighted. Now, tell me that again. I don't want to forget it.
If you like it, share it.
Indeed. I'm writing that one down. Okay, 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Ann in Orange County. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. What I wanted to say regarding the poll is I am actually not surprised at all for the numbers of the polls.
77% of Catholics, according to Gallup, are not going to Mass on Sunday. I find that astonishing.
Well, we were military, and so we've been all over the world in military chapels. We didn't always have Catholic Bible studies. So I quite often went to the Protestant women's Bible study inside our military chapels. And I've been told quite often that people were shocked that I was Catholic, because I was the first Catholic they ever met that actually goes to church every Sunday, that practices what the Catholic religion is and knows what the basis of the Catholic religion is. They were shocked because they've met so many people that are culturally Catholic. And so a practicing Catholic was a shock for most of the Protestant women I've met in the chapels.
Mm-hmm. So did you find that it was edifying to them such that they began going to Mass and they rose up above
that
cultural Catholicism?
No, because the people I met were mostly the Protestant women of the chapel. And so they were just surprised that Catholics actually go to church. Catholics actually believe and know their faith and know the Bible and know their religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, ain't that a shame? No,
it is. They've crossed because most Catholics, I would gather, are culturally Catholic. So they're born into a Catholic family through the past. And we've been in countries, you know, that have a lot of Italy, Filipinos, Hispanic, and, you know, there a lot of that is culturally Catholic.
Yeah, you're right.
But they don't practice.
I very aware of what you're saying, and I concur with you. So to kind of move now from that reality to the solution to the reality, it seems to me, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. It seems to me this is yet another reason why the Eucharistic Congress coming up in July is such an important issue pastorally, as a way to reach out to all the people who maybe, you know, they're just not getting to Mass because they don't understand it, or they've never been properly catechized, or there are more important things to do on a Sunday morning than put God first, et cetera, the people that you're referring to. I think when people find out, when they learn what's really going on at Mass and they understand that they're receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, it's not just a symbol, it's not just a piece of bread. When they realize that, for many people, that's the quickening agent. That's the catalyst that gets them off the couch on Sunday morning or out of bed on Sunday morning and going to Mass. What do you think?
Correct. I think the big thing is properly catechized. So I've always gone to Sunday Mass. But when we returned to San Diego 15 years ago is when I found a fire where I was a 60s child. I was not properly catechized. And so teaching people and getting the word out is so very important, that these people understand that, you know, a Catholic isn't just a Catholic because your parents were Catholic and they had you baptized as a child because that's what grandma had to do, told you had to do. Mm-hmm. You have to know and feel and feel it in your heart that that is the body of Christ, not just a symbol. Not just, oh, well, let's just go to Mass because we have to go to Mass. No, you go to Mass because you love Christ. And like you said, with a wife and seeing him over FaceTime, it's not the same. And during COVID, we transferred churches because we went to a church that was open. And now I love that community. It's a smaller community because I wasn't getting as filled as I needed to be.
And there were people in that same situation you were in. Well, we were all in that situation, who were callously, it seemed anyway, turned away and proactively discouraged from going to Mass. And I think in some cases the tone itself set them up for failure, because the message was sent in some cases, not all, you know, this is not important. You don't need to be here. What's more important is that we are healthy and safe, et cetera, and that message rang the bell for a lot of people. So unlike you and your family, you and your husband, you went and sought out a parish that was more pastorally available. There are a lot of people, for every one of you who did that, who knows how many people didn't make that transition, and they just said, well, I guess I'm going to go to Mass, quote unquote, on the internet, and I'll just stay at home.
Right. And it was mostly the Catholic light churches that really closed down and refused anything. And that's what we left. We left a Catholic light because it was close.
Yeah. I remember stories, and I don't mean to, you know, put too fine a point on this, but I remember hearing stories, you probably heard them too, of priests who would set up outside the front door of the parish so people could drive by, you know, drive up and have their confession heard. That was a great thing. Or priests who would have Mass celebrated in the parking lot where people could be socially distanced, they're in the open air. That's a great idea. I mean, if that's all you can do, it's a great idea. And how sad it was and how dissatisfying it was when sometimes they would get in trouble. Like, stop that. You're not supposed to do that. No mass, no sacraments, nothing. You can't have a priest come visit your dying grandmother in the hospital, you know, because, you know what I'm saying? It brings back bad memories for me because of the way in which, in some cases, it was handled and the effect it had on people. Now, I don't want to concentrate on the negative. I want to concentrate on the positive. You're an example, Anne, of the positive. You saw a situation, okay, let's figure out a better way to do this, and you did it. And that's because you right. are properly catechized. Well, now you're a properly catechized Catholic, right? Because of listening to Catholic radio and so on, that really helped you. So back to my thesis, and I'll give you the last word on this. My thesis is we need more relevant, we need more relevant radio and other yeah. good Catholic outlets so that we can raise people's consciousnesses and help them see what you saw that made you start getting back to Mass. If we can do more of this, then more and more, we can reverse this trend, in other words. We can get back to Gallup right. 10 years from now and say, ha ha, joke's on you. Look what we did in the last 10 years. You know, that number is going up now because people are learning. Final thoughts on that, Anne?
Final thoughts is that I think that we need to get back to our base of Catholics and maybe get rid of the fodder that is just culturally Catholic that brings down and spreads the wrong word. And have the correct word spread and have maybe a smaller Catholic community, but much more on fire for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I agree with you, Anne. When we look at the Gallup poll, we can say, ain't that a shame that only 77% of Catholics, or that 77% of Catholics aren't going to Mass. But we're going to do something about it, by golly. Thank you, Anne. I'll be right back. You would play.
Goodbye, although I cry, ain't that a shame?
Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
This is the main event. 8-8-8-9-1-4-9-1-4-9. Come on, stand up and fight.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
That's good energy right there. Thank you, Cyrus. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Tracy in Wisconsin. Hi, Tracy.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you. Welcome.
Good, good. I just wanted to comment real briefly on reference to the 23% Catholics that go to Mass. And again, just going back to COVID, we will probably never know how many people are staying home watching TV because they feel now that that is sufficient. And yeah. Just real quickly, and it's very sad, I know of somebody who chose to stay at home on Christmas Day and watch Mass on TV, and I mentioned this to a priest, and he said, well, Tracy, that's a mortal sin because they didn't meet their Christmas obligation. And I said, well, Father, how many do you suppose now stay at home mm-hmm. Christmas or Easter and watch the Mass on TV, thinking that this is perfectly acceptable? So we've sort of gotten ourselves in a trick bag with mm-hmm. letting people think that that was sufficient, you know. But anyway, that's my only comment for today. And thank you for your beautiful work and how kind you always are to your callers.
Well, thank you, Tracy. I'm told by young Thomas that you're the Tracy, also Teresa,
that is correct.
Last week. Nice
that
to meet you.
That is correct. And thoroughly enjoyed our time together and the time that you gave me. And again, thank you for your great work and for Relevant Radio.
You're most welcome. It's good to hear from you. And please give my regards to the rest of the group when you see them.
I sure will. Thanks so much. All right. Take
thank
care.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, the Eucharistic Congress is coming up in July, so we want to be sure to let everybody know what's going to be there. And you can, by the way, get more information. Travel packages are available. Tickets are selling out very quickly. And all of that's available at relevantradio.com, so you can make sure that you don't miss out. Wouldn't that be a shame if you're thinking, I want to go to the Eucharistic Congress, I want to see Drew Mariani do a show live, and I want to meet Cyrus and all these other things you can do there, and then you wait and it's too late and you don't go? That would be a shame, wouldn't it? So be sure to check in with us at relevantradio.com, and you'll get everything you need to know for the Eucharistic Congress coming up. There's a big, beautiful image right there on the main page. And if you click on that, it'll give you all the whys and wherefores, and you can get plugged in. I would love to meet you too, because I'm going to be there as well. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Lorraine now in Chicago. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Patrick. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Welcome.
Wonderful. Patrick, please help me. I am a cradle Catholic, mm-hmm. and I was even an aspiring and a postulant to become a Benedictine nun before Vatican II.
Okay.
Patrick, is it a sin, or is it sometimes usual for Catholics to start having doubts about their religion and their faith as a Catholic? I've been posed questions by Protestants, mm-hmm. and I haven't been able to answer them to my satisfaction or where they understand when they come at me about the Blessed Mother, about the saints being dead. Why are you praying to these dead people? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but prior to the Protestants questioning me, a year or so ago, I have been having some doubts myself. Do Catholics go through this sometimes, or have I just let the devil in? What do you think, Patrick?
I don't think you've let the... I mean, it doesn't sound to me like you've let the devil in, like you're intentionally seeking to turn mm-hmm. away from God or anything like that. Doubts can arise when people confront you, challenge you, say to you, it doesn't have to be in a confrontational way, something that you don't have an answer for. And if you're thinking, well, I don't know what the answer to that question is, and therefore, maybe what I've been told isn't true. And I would put it this way, if the doubts are eating away at your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with his church, the Catholic Church, then it calls for action to find out. In other words, you have a right to know the truth. What did Jesus say? He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we all have a duty. It's incumbent upon us, you and me and everybody, it's incumbent upon us to seek the truth. So practically speaking, what I would say, Lorraine, is that there is no question, challenge, argument, what have you, that has been raised to you by a Protestant friend that does not have a thorough, overwhelming, convincing, compelling answer from the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. What's missing is you've never heard those answers. So if your doubts are running away with you, my advice would be, number one, please keep listening to Relevant Radio, because we can help in that regard. But if you had specific issues, then we can tackle those on the air here, or a combination of both. There's also the Catholic Answers website, catholic.com, that has all of these resources, free resources, like tracts and articles and booklets and things that you can get online for free on any topic you can think of. So what are, just give me like the top three or four issues of what you're doubting or thinking about.
I've had a few Protestant friends, acquaintances say to me, why do you adore the Blessed Mother? Why are you in this church lighting candles? That's you're breaking the, is it the first commandment? Thou shalt not put false gods before, you know, and why are you praying to the saints? They're all dead. We don't get all of this. That's wrong. You're blaspheming. And I'll say, well, Jesus was the Mother of God. Yes, but she was just a vessel. I said, but she was more than just a vessel. she was chosen, she was born without original sin. Well, they don't mm-hmm. know what original sin is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just find it troubling because I love St. Joseph. I love mm-hmm. Padre Pio. I believe in St. Teresa Avila and the Little Flower. And, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, I was almost in a postulant mm-hmm. To become a nun. And I'm like, why am I letting this bother me? Why am I questioning? And am I betraying my faith as a Catholic? And it bothers me when they get on the Blessed Mother like that. So when even mm-hmm. when I bring her up to them, I'll say, Blessed Mother, I love you. And then I'll try to explain, but I don't think I'm being so mm-hmm. knowledgeable.
I have some solutions
about
for
it.
Uh-huh. I would like to put your mind at ease, but I don't want to do it in a way that would suggest that there couldn't be some kind of diabolical influence. Obviously, the devil wants to pry you away mm-hmm. from the truth however he can, and doubts, to put doubts in people's minds can be one trick that he can use. But there's mm-hmm. an easy way to defeat that, and that is to prove for yourself from the Bible and other aspects, you know, church history, etc., other aspects of the evidence, to prove to yourself that what you believe, even the things that you're doubting, are in fact true. And so I can give you a few specifics if you have a pen
okay.
handy.
Okay. Yes, I do, Patrick. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So the first, of course, would be continue listening to Relevant Radio. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is you're just going to get 24/7 constant input of scripture and the teachings of the church mm-hmm. to help reinforce you. That's the first thing. Obviously, even before that, of course, is prayer and asking the Lord to strengthen you and to help you understand what is true. And remember, Jesus said, as I said, mm-hmm. you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It will set you free from doubts. It will set you free from worry. It will set you free from thinking, oh, well, oh, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. You'll be free from those things. So let's take a couple quick examples. When somebody says, why do you Catholics worship Mary or adore Mary? It's like saying, have you stopped beating your wife yet? It assumes something that isn't true. We don't worship Mary. We don't adore Mary. We give honor to Mary. And for that matter, we can't give Mary any honors any higher than what God himself has given her. After all, he chose her to be the mother of the Savior, Jesus. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw a dart. He didn't say, well, I need a female body to incubate this incarnate word of God for 9 months, so I'll take you. No, God chose Mary as a person. He gave her the graces necessary to do this mission. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 17, in his great high priestly prayer, he says, as he's praying to the Father, he says, Father, I have given them the glory you have given to me. So Jesus acknowledges that God glorifies his servants, those who love him and follow him. And who loved Jesus more than Mary? Nobody. Mm-hmm. So even Jesus says, I have given them the glory that you have given to me. So we can't glorify Mary any more, or even really, even as much as God has already glorified her. So here's what I'd like to propose by way of a few practical steps. Number one, any of these issues that you have concerns about, when there's time, just call in some time and I will walk you through. We could take an issue at a time and I'll walk you through and I'll show you from the Bible, etc. In the meantime, if you are interested in some freebies, I have a number of articles on these kind of topics, including about Mary and why do we pray to Mary and such, that are on the Relevant Radio website. So if you go to relevantradio.com/Patrick,
mm-hmm.
okay, relevantradio.com/Patrick, then there's there are three buttons, about, links, and contact. Click on links, and then mm-hmm. click on articles, and they're all there. And mm-hmm. they're all free. And so, for example, an article called Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine. I would get that one. I mean, they're all free. You just click them and you can save them to your computer or print them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that particular article, Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine, is I just go by the Bible and I demonstrate in this article the Catholic teaching on why we pray to Mary and the saints. We're not adoring them. We're not worshiping them. We're invoking their intercession. That would be one example. And there are others. Another one is called Mary, Ark of the New Covenant, if we're talking about ones about Our Lady. Why don't you start there and have your Bible open on one hand and have the article in front of you on the other, and you can check every single Bible verse, and you could read along. And I think that's going to give you a foundation for more that we can build on that. I'd also recommend a book by Tim Staples It's called Behold Your Mother. And it's a book on the Marian teachings of the church, and it gives a biblical basis for these teachings.
Okay.
I don't want to overload you. So what if we
No, that's fine, Patrick. That's fine.
Okay. So what if we start there, listen to Relevant Radio, read some of those articles that are free at the Relevant Radio website, and if you have a mind to get that article or that book by Tim Staples, that'll help. And then after you've digested that, what if we talk again in a couple of weeks and then we pick up the next issue? And I promise you, I'll work with you, we'll work through these doubts, you'll see the evidence, and I think your confidence will be restored.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Patrick. I do listen to you guys every day when I'm at work. I can't always. But I appreciate Relevant Radio. It has done so much for me.
And I'm so glad.
It's just that these Protestants, and I don't like the things they say about the Blessed Mother or the saints, you know, and I just don't have that argument. Well, I don't want to be arguing, but I just don't have like the intercession, and they don't understand why a minute you go straight to Jesus, you don't, you know. So
when you read this article, the one on Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine, I think you're going to get a big smile when I get to that particular section, because I have a lot to say on that issue.
Okay, wonderful. Oh, Patrick, God bless you. Thank you so much. Relevant Radio, you guys have done so much for us.
Grateful. Thank God. And thank you, Lorraine. I'll be right back. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. info@charitymobile.com.
Know what I like about the Patrick Madrid Show? Callers keep calling in. Patrick gives the same great answers. All right.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Sam in Vista, California. Hello, Sam. Welcome.
Hello, Patrick. On St. Joseph's Day last week, on the 19th, my wife and I decided to go back to Mission San Juan Capistrano. We used to live in Mission Viejo, and I had a business in San Clemente, a Chevrolet dealership, and we visited San Juan Capistrano and Dana Point, that area, all the time. Anyway, we went there to see if we could see the swallows come back, and I did a little bit of a study on those swallows and how they've been reduced over the years, because in the earthquake remodel of the mission, the old stone church, they took a lot of the swallows' nests down, and a lot of the swallows ended up going to Saddleback College, that area up there, when they come back from Argentina.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if over the years you ever saw any of the swallows.
Oh, my gosh. I saw them everywhere. So I went to Mission San Juan Capistrano Grammar School. So we had a, we always had a big celebration. Well, the mission did, and the school kids wouldn't have to go to school, and we'd dress up as, you know, the different figures from the old mission era. So we, some would dress as Mexicans, some would dress as Spaniards, etc. So we did all kinds of things. We saw the swallows on a regular basis. I grew up in Mission Viejo, just a few miles away. And yeah, we had swallows that would build their nests. Everybody did. It wasn't just us. I mean, everybody's eaves had the mud clay swallows nests that were built up there. And yeah, anybody who lives there, certainly anybody who went to school there, would have seen a lot of that.
Well, when I used to go to that area in the early 80s, when we lived in Mission Viejo, we used to see swallows there, but there's not as many as there used to be. And but I enjoyed being in Capistrano there, and we went to El Torito restaurant. They were so busy. My wife and I ended up at In-N-Out Burger, believe it or not. So,
But you're living my best life, right?
A beautiful place. What's that again?
Said you're living my best life right there. In-N-Out Burger and El Torito, and did you get to El Adobe Restaurant just south of the mission?
Yes, I did, and they were very busy. They were just we wanted to sit outside. It was a beautiful day, and they were packed inside. So my wife and I had limited time, and anyway, we ended up like I said over at In-N-Out Burger, but.
Sounds good to me. Hey, by the way, before you go, Sam, I'll just mention that as kids there at Mission San Juan Capistrano, we had an amazing opportunity to meet the man who wrote that song back in, was it the 30s or 40s, whenever it was. His name was Leon Rene, and he was an elderly man by that time. So this is early 70s. And he came and gave a talk to our class. He talked about what made him want to write the song. It became a big hit. It was a bunch of different people covered it. Elvis Presley did, Pat Boone, Guy Lombardo, a bunch of covers by big artists. And we met the guy who wrote it. So that was an added bonus for us as well. Thanks for the call. You bring back some good memories. We'll go now to John in New Jersey. Hi. Good morning, John. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks. I'm touching on the catechism regarding contemplative prayer. Mm-hmm. Is that something we should be using during holy hour Eucharistic adoration, or can it be something more formal? This is just want to understand your thoughts about that.
Because sure. So, is there more?
Sit there. Mm-hmm. Well, I was just saying that because my experience is because I'm just sitting there and I try to do that, but my mind's filling up, so then I do something more formal. This way it's more focused. So.
Okay, sure. Well, however you pray, it's good that you're praying at all. So whether it's a formal prayer, and by that I think you mean more like a prayer that you would have memorized, the Hail Mary, the Our Father kind of thing, that's all good. If it's prayer from the heart, discursive prayer, where you're just praying what's on your mind, that's also fine. Now, contemplative prayer is a very deep form. It's the deepest form, and it's known as mental prayer. If you want to think in terms of categories, so the beginning rote prayers and prayers that you've memorized, that could be that along with your own extemporaneous prayers coming from your heart. That's kind of at the beginner level of prayer. And the great masters in this area, the spiritual masters like St. Teresa of Avila, for example, they point out how important that kind of prayer is. So don't ever feel bad if that's where you find yourself. But as somebody grows deeper in prayer, then the next category would be that of meditation, where your mind is actively working on thinking about, meditating upon the life of Jesus or some theological truth like heaven and hell or God's love, that kind of thing. But mental prayer or contemplative prayer is the deepest form of all, and that is where you're not processing in your mind thoughts. You're not, it's not meditation, it's contemplation. And the difference here is that contemplation, if I can use an analogy, you're standing on the balcony of a building overlooking the ocean, and you're witnessing a beautiful, spectacular sunset. And you're just standing there enjoying it. You're standing there basking in it. You're not thinking about light waves and how particles travel through space and how the light from the sun is interacting with the atmosphere and what does this mean and why is it causing this color. Those are things that you might be meditating upon if you were using meditative prayer. But contemplative prayer is where you're simply basking and gazing upon God and the things of God. And I know it may sound like a subtle distinction here. If you can pray that way, they say, the spiritual masters say, that's the highest and the deepest form of prayer. Most people don't get to that level of prayer. There are guides to get to that level of prayer, and I would say read The Interior Castle by St. Teresa of Avila, because she explains it very comprehensively and in a step-by-step way. So regardless of how you pray when you go to adoration, the fact that you're there at all is great, and that you're praying with scripture, pray the rosary, what have you, that's all good. If you really want to go deeper, now maybe you're already there, but if you aren't and you want to go deeper, I can't think of anyone better than St. Teresa of Avila to give you that guidance to go toward the deep end of the pool. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. How about Sophia now in California? Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning, Patrick. Quick comment. I had noticed you had said 77% of Catholics do not attend regular Mass. And mm-hmm. that was me prior okay. to COVID in 2020. When I was told that I could no longer go to Mass and it was going to be closed, I took for granted that it would have always been there. And I've gone every Sunday since. Oh, I found a church that had Mass outside. Kind of we would bring our chairs and it was kind of like we were mm-hmm. camping and they brought the altar outside. And a prayer group on Tuesday nights, Eucharistic adoration on Thursday nights. And Relevant Vape Radio started a year ago, and now I'm addicted. I get in the car. I cannot listen to anything else. I enjoy what
I'm
you guys
glad to hear
do.
That.
And you guys have made a big difference in my life. And I'm getting sentimental because I hope I'm not the only one, and I'm hoping that that happened to other people as well. So thank you.
I think it did. Thank you, Sophia. Thank you for sharing mm-hmm. your heart on this issue. I do believe it happened to quite a few people because – just because when people start listening, and you know what it's like, things start happening in mm-hmm. your soul, in your mind,
yeah.
and you start getting energized. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but isn't it true that the more you learn, the more you want to learn?
Exactly. And you just want to be with him more and more.
Yes. Yes, that's so true. Yeah. Well, I only have one request from you, if I may, and that would be please tell everyone you know about Relevant Radio. Get a bumper sticker. We give them away for free. Just go to relevantradio.com. And under support, there's a place where you can fill out the info. We'll send you two bumper stickers if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And tell your friends, text your friends, share it with them, and we'll get more people having the kind of experience that you had.
Oh, definitely. I share it with my prayer group. And one other young lady at the prayer group, she shared. She's like, Sophia told me about this radio station, and she said it's so addicting. And she called me and said that she is addicted, and then people were asking what it was. And then another girl says, oh, I know that one. And I said, you have to download the app. It's just so great to listen to. Mm-hmm. I said, no longer do I listen to secular radio when I'm in my car. And then I'm at work right now, and I have you on my phone and mm-hmm. my app. But yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's good chatting with you, Sophia. Thanks so much for that. Let's go now to Amy in Sacramento, California. Good morning, Amy.
Morning, Patrick. So this is about the loveless marriage I'm in right now. So I've been married for 10 years. We conceived two kids and have abstained for seven. And I've been constantly seeing therapists for the lack of self-love. And my recent therapist, that she was going into our marriage, made me realize that the absence is possibly causing this distress.
And
after seeing couples therapists, I finally spoke out about the fact that we hadn't had, you know, any intimate relations for that long. And he emphasized, mm-hmm. my husband, that we need to, you know, like, engage in more physical, not just the occasional hug when I need it.
Yeah.
And so we did do the natural family planning, you know, when we were conceiving our kids. And then so we decided, okay, let's do it on the second day of my menstruation. We had it. It was a nice moment. When I asked, can we do it again? Because, you know, my cycle is long enough. We can still have a day. He's like, oh, I just did this for you to feel better, but I don't need it myself. So for me, it's more like I don't want to think about annulment, but it does make me feel like that I'm leading that way. And I don't want to do it because I did do the commitment. The sacrament is for life. So I just would like to know, like, is there anything I can do to kind of find out? Because yesterday when I went to confession, the priest even said, like, there must be a blockage in him. And he told me about, we did the marriage encounter, but that didn't really help too much. But he talked about retrofile.
Oh, good. I'm glad he told you about that.
Yeah.
Is your husband willing to go to a retrovi weekend with you, Amy?
Yes, he's like up to anything, but it seems like when I mentioned that I'm having a difficult time, I'd like more like hugs or kisses, he'll do it, but then he'll just fade away afterwards. It's just constantly when I need it, not when, you know, it's not a natural thing for him, it seems.
So I have a couple questions. You mentioned early on, I think you said how long you've been married. Could you tell me again how long? 10 years. Okay. And so 10 years of just doing some math, you're probably both in your mid-30s, late-30s?
40 and 47.
Okay. Has there ever been a time when things were better and different, or has it always been this way?
Well,
or mostly always?
Well, when we were dating, we were intimate in terms of hugging, maybe like light petting, but like that was the part that kind of made me feel like deception was when he said like when he was dating other girls.
Let's not be too specific, though. I mean, I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, no. Yeah, just it's a family like show. He wouldn't engage further because he felt like he couldn't, and the girls would be pushed away. They wouldn't feel they wouldn't feel like it was a match.
Okay, but not counting the dating time, earlier in your marriage, was this an issue early on and it gradually became like it is now, or was it always this way, more or less?
It was always this way. It was more like this conception. He's very much into the catechism, so you reproduce and abstain is basically like the only thing for pleasure is there's none. It's more like it's just for reproduction.
Okay. So this is an important topic, but obviously I can't give you a meaningful answer in 60 seconds. So I do have a few thoughts that I'll share with you in a broad sort of way. If you don't mind holding over the break, when we come back, I'll offer you a few suggestions. How does that sound?
Great. Thank you.
Okay, good. So we'll do that. And in the meantime, everybody, if you wanted to call in, we just had a line open up, two lines just open up, as a matter of fact, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Amy is in a loveless marriage, maybe not emotional lovelessness, but physical lovelessness. And she's curious what she can do about that. I have a few thoughts and I'll share those with you. Not suitable for children, by the way, right after this.